Welcome to Alive the Pod Course, practices and conversation for fully alive living.
Join Jane Gottlieb and Marisa Halstead for some shucktified musings aimed to help listeners maintain an inspired and open mindset and wider perspective.
In this pod course, we take the approach of inviting all humans to consider their life and the way they live it as extraordinary versus ordinary. Here, we offer conversation and practice to help make that possible.
Ultimately, we hope these conversations illuminate the infinite possibilities available to us all and help each of us come fully alive in every scene in the movie of our life.
Let's roll.
Here we go.
Here we go. Welcome. We've got a really exciting pod course today. We have Chef Tad Fry with us as our guest. And this is a human we both very much respect and get inspired by and love to eat his food. Tad has been in the culinary world for 25 years. Mm-hmm. He was an executive chef for 12 of those. And not only is he so well-versed in the chefing world and with food and technique, but he's also very much a healer himself and has studied with the Shibibo tribe in Peru, has done extensive amounts of plant medicine as far as dietas and diving pretty deeply into the prana of food in the shamanic realm. He's also a Reiki practitioner, a pranic healer. So he really gets the idea of the vibration and the frequency of food. And we are just so excited to learn more from you today. So thank you for being here.
Yeah, welcome, Tad. I mean, it was so obvious to me. The first time I met Tad, I was actually on sort of a mini retreat experience, and Tad was chefing, and it was like, it was night and day, the experience I had. I mean, I pretty much stopped him right away being like, we need to work together, because I could tell from the way he held space to the way he held his kitchen to just the peacefulness that he demanded within his environment and the respect of the food and the thoughtfulness of the food. I could really tell that there was something going on beyond like what my conscious mind might have noticed. And the quality of the food, not only from taste, but like, and therefore even the quality of connections that I experienced on this retreat, they were just, there was something really magical in the background. And he and I have spoken a lot, like how important the food component is on a retreat and how it can really be something that supports the work being done. It can be something that destroys the work being done. And I really felt that in this experience. So we've worked together a few times now. I like won't do a retreat without
Here we
Tad.
Are. We're starting tomorrow our detox retreat this weekend. He's here hanging with us for that.
Yeah, and just this idea, you know, we talk about aliveness and what you put in your mind, body, spirit, and obviously very specifically the body on this one, but how, tell us what you think around this alive concept and this idea that you are what you eat.
Well, you know that I've always been, you are what you eat. Food is the best medicine that there is. Have a choice to pick your own medicine to a large degree. Using positive vibrations when I cook and making sure that I ground myself and the space when working, I think is super important. That's a part of the transfer of energy into the food. And I think that that's why you hear people say all the time that you should always cook when you're happy and you should be peaceful, so that all of the things that you touch and everything that you cook is imbued with that energy.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I had such a first-hand experience of that, and it's just a little story, a little side story. I was in a workshop actually recently with Byron Katie, and we were talking about an issue that a family was having of the father was asking his daughter to, her chore was to get the water for the family. And for some reason, the daughter would always forget her chore and she would always forget to get the water. And so then the dad started being like kind of forceful with, that's your chore, like get the water for the family. And he made it sort of a punishment thing. Long story short, you know, the conclusion here is like, well, what kind of water are you feeding your family? you know? And I just thought that really hit home. Like when you're going to start to make a negative thing about all this and you're going to start to get, make this about a lesson and the whole thing, what kind of water are you feeding your family? And similar, of course, with food and the chores that it is to like make dinner or, you know, throw something together. I think it's wise to think twice about that from the grocery store experience, which maybe you can talk about a little bit onward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, from people who throw something together for dinner fairly regularly for now, in their grocery store experience, what advice do you have or ways that you do this that's a little different?
When I'm at the grocery store, first things first is you always need to be aware of what fresh produce or fresh product is and what it looks like. Mm. That'll draw you to the general area. And then I think that it's important to be able to use energy. You can always feel prana from everything, even rocks.
What is prana, Ted?
Prana is life force. And this is something that throughout my career, I've taken classes as continuing education, and I've done a lot of work in Ayurvedic food, cooking in particular. Much more of the food, more food centric than the treatments and things like that. And this is something that the teacher that I sat with for my Ayurvedic, she impressed upon us to make sure and to center the kitchen and to be grounded and to understand that the different principles of Ayurvedic cooking as far as it relates to the prana in your food. As you cook food, like if it's a dry bean or if it's a dry seed or spices and things like that, to activate them, saute them in a little bit of oil, even your salt, all of these things, it wakens up the flavor, it awakens the oils, and it actually imbues prana into the food. So that's kind of the base where everything starts. When you're at the grocery store and you put your hands out and you feel energy from produce, and I suggest people even go to conventional produce, non-organic produce, and just close your eyes and kind of see it. You know, if you don't want to do it, people are looking at you, then don't worry about that. But just be aware of it. You know, understand, rub your hands together a little bit, activate the power centers in your palms. These are the most sensitive in your entire body. And you can go to the food and you can put your hands there and you'll pick up on it. Just use your intuition and understand that if something feels, if it draws you to that, then chances are that's going to be good for you.
I mean, I love that. Like, to me, the idea of somebody watching me sort of being a weirdo in the market, like, I get pretty excited about that because it's an invitation for someone to talk and connect to me. It's an invitation for me to, just from the sweetness of my heart, be like, you know what? Like, I just want to bring home the best ingredients I possibly can because I want to live my best life. And like, I think that would be really inspiring to someone. And we're talking about alive living and like planting little seeds of aliveness wherever we go.
Yeah.
I love that idea.
So okay, this concept of like energy, we are all energy. Energy exists in everything, right? So even matter and produce. So if I've never done this before and I'm going to walk up to, would you recommend doing like non-produce first and then going to produce second, or like what's a really good way for 101? I'm going to go do this for the first time to get people to go try it.
I'd say for me, 101 is do produce first. You can go to the apples, you can go to the onions, you can go to the potatoes, you can go to lettuces and things like that. And if you really, really think about what it is that you're touching, think about a potato. It grows in the ground. So that's going to have a very dense energy. It's going to perhaps give you earthiness. Whereas if you go to something like lettuces, that grows above ground, it's very light, and that should not have any heaviness or it should almost shine, if you will. And it's what I always try to equate it to is if you have fresh herbs, cilantro, basil, parsley, whatever that is, when it's growing in your garden, or if it's in the store and you can touch it and then you smell your hand, then that gives you some idea of how much energy is in that.
So you're really just looking for how much energy is available. Like, is it big, expansive, or is it kind of like nothing?
If it's nothing, like you can walk past sometimes if I tell people you have to be a little bit more cautious about going past like commodity meats and things like that. You can't really touch those things. Things that are in plastic, things that are unfrozen, those are things that you can put your hands on. And I suggest people to try the same thing, the commodity chicken or beef or pork versus if you can get if your store has grass-fed produce or proteins, then you can go and just see the difference. Maybe you won't see anything. Maybe you won't notice anything. But I suggest people to try to do that every time that you go into the store. And you might be surprised.
I mean,
it's a cool
I think
way to shop.
Interacting with the unseen world is just, it's a cool way to awaken your mind, body, spirit anyway. And it's, you know, I think some of these little tools that we have, the most practical ones that like don't take meditation, but just bring us in our everyday lives.
Yeah.
It's going to add an element of aliveness. It's going to add awareness, and not only through your meal, but through your life. And you know, more aliveness is more aliveness. More energy is more energy.
Totally. So our culture is coming around to things like this more and more. Thank goodness. Finally, but you've traveled a lot. I know you have been many, many places in the world and pretty immersed in the culinary culture of a lot of different places. Mm-hmm. Is there somewhere in particular that stands out in your mind in the world that's been really inspiring to you or been a big teacher? And how can we be more like them, Tad?
Well, you know, I, as a chef, I've afforded myself a great opportunity to travel all over the world. I've been very, very fortunate to have had the time and the money to do that. And for me, some of the most energetic places that I've been to, one is obviously in Peru. I've spent time in the Sacred Valley. I've spent time in the jungles with Shipibo maestras and maestros. I've done some plant medicine within the valley as well as in the jungles. Whenever I travel, I it's always kind of a flavor hunting experience for me, and that's where I can go and be introduced to new products that I've never seen before, and then it's up to me to go to these different markets. It's like in particular Bali in Indonesia. They have tremendous markets there in Ubud or in Ubud or in different places on the island. You can go to just about any local community and there will be a big, beautiful, they sell flowers, they sell all of their hand goods, they sell all of their fried stuff, but there's also amazing produce there. So,
what philosophies do they have that are inspiring you?
They encourage people to go early, and they're very, very aware of how many people come through their stall and touch their food and touch their products. And in their mind, in their mindset, I think that there's some way that detaches or it makes it dirty or whatever, it's contaminated or whatever it is that they... Maybe not contaminated is the right word, but it's an energetic thing. If you have too much energy, it's the same reason why people smudge in their homes, is to clear out any bad energy. And that's where you have the opportunity in environments like these small markets, and you find these little stalls, and then you go up and you can speak to the people that are there.
Well, I really love the idea. I mean, I have to admit, I don't often wash my produce, my lettuce, or my apples. I'm somebody who's not afraid of germs. I just don't. But I am inspired from this conversation to wash it just so the energy is clean, because I love to cook, and cooking for friends and family, I obviously want to create the most pure and love-filled and, you know, healthy situation. So, I mean, I love the idea of washing my food now, just because I don't know where it's been mm-hmm. in all the ways, and not just from germs. I love that technique.
And that's when I say, when every morning, sometimes people see me, sometimes people don't, sometimes I just do it in my mind. But every morning or afternoon that I come into the kitchen, every time I've left and I come in, I stop, take a deep breath, connect all eight corners of the building to me, and then imagine a rose. And then that rose clears out the entire space of anything that I don't want. And then I let go of that rose and it burns. And then I start my work. So that just helps ground the space for me energetically.
Yeah.
And then each thing that I do, as I pull the ingredients out of the refrigerator or out of the grocery bags or whatever that is, then I touch them again. Things that need to go into water or things that need to get washed, whatever those things are, everything gets processed. And during that process, that's kind of my flow, my zen. You know, when you peel garlic, people
your
are like,
secret sauce.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I touch and feel and give love to everything, even garlic, you know, and that's one thing. People are like, you can buy that peeled and then you don't have to spend 20 minutes doing that. And it's like, yeah, but then somebody's already done that. It's in a bag. It's already processed. I would rather process it myself. Then that helps me collect my thoughts and it helps me put that energy into the space.
That's so beautiful. And this idea of like less is more is something mm-hmm. that experiencing your food multiple times. First of all, when you walk into Tad's kitchen, you have to do it in order to like, you got to take our word for it here, but you walk in and I can feel that you, now that you just told me what your process is about why I feel the way I feel when I step into the room, thank you. Cause it's very palpable. And the less is more is your ingredients are, first of all, they're very fresh and gorgeous. And your flavor, it's not for lack of flavor. It's super healthy, but it's not boring in any way. And because all these ingredients are activated, you know, we come from a pretty calorie conscious culture mm-hmm. where it's like, well, restrictive. And you've found a way that, and I want you to like in just a moment, like love to hear the how you do this, but you really have found a way to make simple ingredients and not a ton of them. And I eat less quantity, but I'm so full and I'm so satiated and it was so delicious. And even if I have a little bit more, I don't feel overly full. So how do you do that? How do you make less is more happen with your ingredients and your combinations?
That's a good question. So some of it is chef secrets. Okay.
Some okay, of these things, not
I'll drop a couple.
Some of these, and they're not secrets. I mean, there's nothing. I mean, for example, if for those of you who love cilantro, the stems have more flavor than the leaves do, right? For those of you who love citrus, if you like lemon juice in anything, take the zest from the outside. It's a different set of essential oils. There's different ingredients that come into that, and it's a more positive, bright, assertive flavor. And that's in, especially in like Southeast Asian food or Italian food, different things. I mean, citrus and cilantro are the first two things that come to mind.
Sure.
Just because those
yeah.
are Southeast Asian foods. Right. So I think that they're the opportunity to share my own industry or chef experience and how to encourage people to utilize that to give you more flavor without the fat and the salt or anything, the other things that you don't really need so much. Whereas you're more ingredient centric and you use everything. You know, that's,
so it's not like just the juice and then throw the whole lemon out. You're being really aware of the wholeness of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I love
and I
that.
Think that that's a huge part of it as well.
Love
we're
that.
culture in America in particular, where we tend to be a little wasteful mm-hmm. on things. And, you know, it's the same conversation that we've had about farm-raised, grass-fed chicken or any animal protein at all. Yes, it's expensive, and that's sometimes a barrier for people to get into, but you have to consider that this is a much more nutrient-dense product. And to be honest, you don't need to eat
as much
10 ounces of beef a
right.
day.
Right.
You just don't need right. that. 10 ounces of beef a week is plenty. I have been vegan. I have been vegetarian. And now I'm more flex. I love everything. I love all food. And as long as it's a high vibe, you know, if it's a good quality product that's been raised properly and it's been loved before it got to the store, then my job's half done.
Right.
You know?
Well, I think that's an interesting subject too. It's like, you know, sometimes we can pick the best of the best in the store. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those of us who have farmers markets near us in the summer, like, we're drawn to it for a reason. Like, our intuition is there for us. But, you know, when we don't know where it's come from, or when we have, when we do the touch test or the energetic touch test in the supermarket, and we're like, wow, you know, I'm not feeling it. What I'm hearing is there's a lot of ways you can raise the vibration of it once you get it home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, when we're talking about aliveness, there's so many little things we can do in our daily life that keeps us from being on autopilot and that awakens our power and awakens our magnificence, which isn't always sparkly, but it is powerful. And, you know, that's what we're interested in here.
Mm-hmm.
And I love hearing just your intentionality, because I've tasted it, I've received from it, I know how my body feels after 3 days of eating your food. And it's not just because you're a chef, it's because you're the chef that you are. And seriously, I'm hearing we can all do this if we just pay a little bit of attention.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not hard, we're doing the work anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's something that, like, I tell people all the time, shop daily. That
yeah.
If you have, I mean, I know time gets away and people have lives, man. I understand. I'm saying, oh God, I got too much time on my hands. But for even here for retreats, I shop almost every day.
Yeah.
And what that does is it gives you the best. It gives you the best selection as far as variety in the environment that we live in here in Bessalt and in Aspen. And same thing for where I live in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. There's very few places that you can buy your groceries to begin with. And there's so many people there that turnover can be extremely high. So in my mind, the way to combat that is to go daily, understand, talk to the people that work at the grocery store, find out when the produce comes mm-hmm. in, find out when the chicken comes in, find out when the fish comes in.
Yeah, empower.
Mm-hmm. Find out all this stuff, because they're happy to tell you this stuff. They want you to know. They want you to be happy with the stuff that you buy. So as you do that, it kind of connects you more to your food. And you start to understand, you know, I had limes yesterday, I'm going to have lemon today. I had lemons yesterday, I'm going to have grapefruit today. Oh, there's palmello. What the hell is that? So these are the kinds of things that you can always use for yourself when you have time.
Yeah, so. Love that.
I love that.
So we've been talking a lot about, and this will be kind of like our wrap-up question, and unless you want to just go on some brilliant riff, we will not cut you off. but the question, we've been really riffing about creating food and mm-hmm. shopping for food, and what about consumption of? Like, what insight do you have if somebody else prepared something for you or just your mom,
mm-hmm.
You know, the consumption of the food, how does that relate to energy from your perspective?
Same thing. Intentionality is a clutch thing. You can imbue energy on your food. You can just, like I do, like if I go to someone's house and they bring me a bowl of soup or something, I'll pick it up. Oh, it's warm. And smell it.
Yeah,
what I'm doing
to the senses.
I'm
I love
putting
that.
All that energy into my food.
Mm.
all of it. It's yours.
Yeah, and better. And that inverse is true too, right? If I'm in a bad mood, I'm like, be careful because I'm doing that to what I'm eating and I'm just reinforcing the process. Mm-hmm. I didn't even consider that. That's beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's, you know, you should, it's a beautiful thing. Anytime someone cooks for you, I believe that comes from the heart. Mm. And that's someone giving you something of them. No one's going to give you food that they know obviously is terrible. Nobody wants to do that, right? nobody right. I know. Yeah. So it's important to, a lot of times, that sometimes that's the best that somebody can do. Mm-hmm. It's the best because that's all the time they had. It's the best because it's all the money. It's the best because whatever it is, they're not giving you something that should be devalued or just taken for granted. I guess that's kind of the crux of what I'm saying.
Yeah. Gratitude, attitude. My sister mm-hmm. is brilliant at this. She really holds me to it because I forget. I really do sometimes. She really, you know, does a gratitude blessing on every meal. And it's not only the ingredients, not only the people, not only those who made it, but also who grew it, who drove it, who shipped it, who packaged it. The rain that fell on it, like she goes through a list mm-hmm. of, and it, specific or not specific, at least acknowledgement of the entire journey of what it took from my bite and the origin of whatever has transpired. What a cool, it's a great practice. I love that.
Well, and that's what I said, Jane said it earlier, is like any retreat environment that you're in, food is such an integral part of not only for people to be happy but and satisfied with the food, but it does so much more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and you know, some of you guys like either maybe don't cook or, you know, or are using Blue Ribbon, which is brilliant and works for your life. And
apron.
Blue Apron, sorry. Thank you. I'm gonna do that many times. I'm gonna just how I roll in the world. Thank you, Marisa. And you know, maybe this isn't your realm to infuse your intentionality, but a breathwork practice is like yours. And so each of these are meant to like speak to the ones that it lights you up. And if this feels like work, then it feels like work. And that's okay. This isn't your this isn't your area. But for those that it is, this is something we do every day. We eat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you are what you eat energetically. All the things.
Yeah.
All the things.
And I meant to comment on this too. I'm a sommelier, and those of you who know me from the past, and I have this concept of the mindful vine, and it's this journey of the senses, dining experience. And to me, wine has a lot of prana. It's that Galileo quote of wine is sunlight held together by water. I mean, I'm just obsessed and I have a love affair with grapes, as does this woman. but you know, the journey of the body and the senses, you tapped on it a little earlier. We can all do that. We can just pause for a moment.
That's all it is.
Of like appreciation of the smell, mm-hmm. of the sight, of the taste, and just savor for a moment. Yeah. You know, that'll change everything.
Totally.
Of your eating 100%, experience.
100%. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good stuff.
So yeah, little wisdom. Thanks, Tad.
Thank you, Tad. So if you want to come on retreat with us in the future, Tad will be here and you get to sample and savor.
There is nothing.
He's our guy.
Like it, yeah. Truly.
And maybe we might be able to convince him to share a recipe as part of the practice of this pod course.
Certainly.
He's got quite a few good ones.
I do.
Any closing thoughts you want to leave everybody with?
You know, it's just like you said, everyone has to eat every single day. And some people just are not as concerned about the things that they eat. But you should always understand that you are what you eat. There was a great quote someplace on Instagram that I saw it, and it said, "Nature's so smart to put the medicine right in the food."
Yeah.
And it really did. It really did.
Yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Bon app, everyone out
listening.
There.